So I've got a short reading for you this morning. So as we said, we're looking into Genesis and Genesis 12, and specifically at the call of Abraham. So I'm going to read Genesis 12, starting at verse 1 through to the end of verse 5. So it says, "The Lord had said to Abraham," and apologies if I say Abraham, Abraham, I do mean the same person, but my mind will flip between the two. So "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there." May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. I think for the purposes of time, I'll probably skip the next hymn if that's okay. And we will look straight into God's word. So from that chapter in Genesis, I think it's a real challenge for every single one of us, isn't it? What do you do when God calls us to go somewhere or calls us to do something that maybe we're not sure about? What do we do when God calls us into the unknown or calls us to take a leap of faith? God calls ordinary people, just like you, just like me. And we know the story of Abraham and how much he was used for the work of God. And hopefully, by looking at how he approached this situation, we can look at some examples from his faith and see how we can actually apply them to our own lives today. So we start with chapter 12, and we meet this guy, Abraham. But who was he? We're told in Genesis 11 that he lived in a place called the Ur of the Chaldeans, which was where he was born. And he was married to a lady called Sarah, and they were had without child. They didn't have any children because she wasn't able to conceive. So in chapter 12, when God called Abraham, he was living in a city in Babylonia called Ur. So you might think, this is a long while back. I expect it will be a little bit like the Flintstones. It's going to be quite basic, not a lot going on. But actually, through history and from archaeological evidence, they've seen that Ur was a really advanced city. So you could probably compare it to somewhere like Exeter in the modern day. It had schools, it had libraries, it had a system of law, had running water, as in like fresh water brought in to the city. But it did have one big problem, and that was that it followed the religion of astrology. So it's something that begun at the Tower of Babel, and it was practiced in Babylonia. And if you look at the book of Joshua 24:2, we see that Terah, who was Abraham's father, he was a worshipper of idols. And not just a worshipper, he made idols. So this guy, Abraham, he comes from a family that don't follow God. They make idols. And they live in a town that just seems so far away from God. So of all the people for God to call, why on earth would he pick Abraham? Surely he's not qualified for the task. Now, I've got a story of when I didn't particularly feel qualified for a task. And it's one that it will come true to me very, very soon, because it's the first time that we ever properly babysat as a couple. So we'd looked after our friends' kids. We'd had them for the evening. But often when we went there and they went out, they were all tucked up in bed. It was fairly straightforward. We could literally just sit there and watch TV, just check on them. They weren't awake. So we said, they wanted to go away for the weekend, our friends. Yeah, we'll look after the boys for a weekend. And I think in my mind, I was thinking, well, how hard can it be? I think if you could see the look on my face on the Sunday night when they got back, through lack of sleep, through absolute exhaustion, I wasn't qualified for the task. And I definitely had to learn on my feet. So this guy, Abraham, he's just not what you expect. He's had no special training. He comes from a sinful time and a time where that community is isolated from God. But actually, even though it was a long, long time ago, doesn't this just sound familiar to us today? Doesn't this just sound like our lives today in Ottery, in Exeter, wherever we work? The same problems remain. So maybe if we're thinking today, well, how can God use me? We live in a society that makes us feel worthless. We might not feel we've had the right training, the right education, the right background. But God was still able to use Abraham. Whatever we might feel, we know that God can see the bigger picture in every single one of our lives, which is awesome. So you might think, that's fine. But Abraham, when he was called, was 75 years old. So I don't know about most people, but I think when I'm 75, I'll probably be looking forward to a little bit of a rest by then. But actually, even though he was older, God was still looking to call him. 75 wasn't him slowing down. For him, that was the very start. And actually, that can apply to us even from when we're very young, right up to when we're very old. Age isn't a barrier to being able to serve God. We're on a continual walk with God, and Jesus often refers to his followers as children. So here, you see Abraham. He's someone that's older than you'd expect, but God still called him, and as you know, was able to use him mightily. And then if that wasn't enough, you have Sarah. So Sarah, Abraham's wife, wasn't able to have children. But then God has promised them, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. So how is that humanly possible? The old childless couple were called by God. But God can use any of us, whatever our backgrounds. So God called Abraham, who we might think was too old, but he also called David, who was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Peter denied Christ. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So Abraham and Sarah, they're just ordinary people, like any one of us. But God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. It's not about what we might think our ability is, but it's about our availability to be used for him. So God's called this couple from an unexpected background. But how does this apply to us here this morning? God has said to Abraham, go from your country to your people, and go from your country, your people, and your household to the land I will show you. So, what is God actually asking him to do? Well, for one, he's asking them to pack up everything, to leave their home, leave their security, and go, but he's not saying exactly where he wants them to go. So, if you imagine in today's society, we have social security, we have pensions. But in those days, your community, your network would have been everything. You'd relied on it daily for your food and to look after them into the old age. But God gives them a promise. And he says, I'll make you into a great nation. So he's asking them to do something massive, to really take a step out of their comfort zone, to leave everything they know, their daily lives behind completely. But he promises them, I'll make you into a great nation and I will bless you. So this is a really important part of the Old Testament and a turning point. So what God is saying is that I'm starting to put a plan, I've got a plan in motion to reverse the effects of the fall, to reverse the effects of sin from Adam and Eve. And this wouldn't just bless Abraham and Sarah, but eventually through their lineage, through Jesus, it comes to bless every single one of us. So it's a really important part of the story. So you might think, that's fine for them, but I don't actually think I've been called by God. I don't know if there's really a calling in my life. We might imagine that being called by God is something quite obvious, something quite clear, maybe just like a telephone call out of the blue. But actually, we've got lots of examples in the Bible that this call can come in many different forms. Elijah received the word in quiet. For us, we have the Bible and the Holy Spirit to guide us. So if we look into the New Testament, even though we might not think we have a call in our lives, I can pick out three examples of where we are each called to serve every day. So start with in Matthew, we're called to repent. It says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, in Matthew 4, it says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We're called to repent, we're called to follow. And then again in Matthew 5, it says, let your light shine before men. So we're called to repent, to follow, to let our light shine to all around us. So what do we need to do to make this happen, to allow this to happen in our lives? Firstly, we must allow God to use us, be following him daily. Sometimes this might put us out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we might not know the details. But if we have an open heart to listen to the calling of God, he can use every single one of us in an amazing way. So what does Abraham do with this? He's got two choices. God has called him. Does he stay or does he go? What was his response? Well, in the book of Romans chapter 4, we're told what happens. In Romans 4:18, it says, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as had been said to him. It says, so shall your offspring be without weakening in his faith. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. So Abraham had a simple decision. Did he stay or go? He chose, even though he didn't know what the outcome would be, just to simply follow God's calling and to trust him in his life. It's a massive decision, and it would have been what appeared to be a big risk for him. He had to leave everything he knew behind. But once he made that decision to follow God and simply trust on him, a new life began for him. Everything old was gone, and he could look forward to everything that was new. This is simple, and it was faith. And for Abraham and Sarah, it changed their lives. And through his lineage later on, we have Jesus, and that changes every single one of our lives too. He had true faith. So faith wasn't just thinking or talking, it was action, it was movement, it was something that he chose to do, and he went out and did. He was venturing into the unknown, he was older, but he was simply able to put his trust in God. And that's a real challenge for every single one of us today in our daily lives. And as we've already said, whatever ages we are, even from the very youngest of us. So what it also shows is that God is truly working for us and that we can trust in him. We can pray to him if we're worried about something. We can just calmly rely that he's in control of our everyday lives, our every step. Psalm 62 says, I depend on God alone, and I put my hope in him. He alone protects me, saves me. He's my defender, and I shall never be defeated. So it's a challenge, isn't it? And as we preached, spoke through this with the kids in Lipova, Florrie was particularly challenged by this. She's coming to a stage in her life, as we said, where She didn't know what her next step was. She didn't really know what she wanted to do. But she felt that God was calling her. She didn't know to what. She doesn't know in what way. But Florrie decided that she wanted to take the step of faith and to truly follow him. So that's why we just really want to pray for her, that her next step is just truly in God's will, and it should be used in mighty ways for him. So what God wants to do with our lives is often too big to fit into our comfort zone. God doesn't always give you every single detail, and it always takes a step of faith. But just to finish, I thought it would be just great to go through some of the promises that God has given us. Promises through the Bible that we know are true, that we can stand to. So I won't go through all the verse references, but if anyone wants to look at the verses for these, I can show you at the end of the service. But he promises us no condemnation. He promises never to forsake us. He promises us perfect peace. He promises us clear guidance. He promises us answered prayer. He promises us victory over Satan. He promises to carry our burdens. He promises to renew our strength. He promises us a secure future. And then eventually, he promises us no more tears. So Abraham's story is like the story of any other Christian. So what are we going to do this morning? Are we listening out for God's calling? Are we willing to hear God's calling? Are we willing to be obedient to that? God can use every single one of us, whatever our backgrounds. So the choice for us this morning is simply, do we carry on our own path, or do we submit and follow to him? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you from your word this morning, and just this simple example of Abraham and his wife Sarah. That these weren't people who were specially trained, that were specially selected, but these were just ordinary people from ordinary backgrounds, from an ordinary society just like today. And Lord, we just thank you for the amazing things that happened through Abraham and his faith. And Lord, we just respond to the challenge of that in our own lives this morning. Whether we've heard the call, but maybe we're resisting that in some way. Maybe we're not living in the right way that God wants us to do daily. But Lord, we just pray that whatever our situations are, that you'll just give us a truly open heart to truly be led by your Spirit. And Lord, that as we follow you, we know that we have all of your promises that we can hold on to. And even though we might not know what the next step in our lives are, that you have a plan for us and that you are in control. So we thank you that you can use every single one of us, whatever age, whatever our background. And we just pray that we'll live fully committed to you in our walks. Amen.